Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Woman, you're back. I'm so happy you're here with me. Wow. Did you know that we're in the middle of National Eating Disorders Awareness Week? We are. And I'm doing my part here with this show by bringing more awareness to what's really the cause of the problem behind all of the insanity and hatred we feel towards our bodies. What's that, you say? In my opinion, it's our stinking thinking. I don't think there's any difference between hating your body and having that kind of angst show up as denying yourself food to survive, like an anorexic person would, or having your body hatred spew out and manifest in trying to stuff down all your emotions and avoiding living your life and speaking your truth by using food to keep you feeling safe. To me, I think it's all just about obsession, no matter how you slice it. And that is misery. We're going to be talking today about the hows and whys of loving your body when you just can't stand yourself. Basically, that means learning how to like yourself exactly as you are, without feeling the pressure or need to change in any way. Really, get me, listen, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, just you, no frills, you're perfect right now. For me, this concept of body acceptance comes from deeply, 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 deeply personal experience of so many years lost and wasted on hating myself. To break out of my victim place, to stop being my own worst enemy, I had to get really honest with myself and realize that it was never my body that was the problem, but the way that I thought about it. I used to walk around feeling cursed because I have fat thighs. That's just a fact. That's me. I also have a lot of abuse in my past, and through most of my adulthood, I've let many people, especially men, treat me like trash, because unfortunately, that's what I was used to for a long time. Having those kinds of experiences, that's always kind of felt like my burden to bear. And as long as I saw it in that way, it felt like it would consume me. Now, with thanks to the simple stress relief process that I teach called Emotional Freedom Technique, you remember I taught it to you last week, how to apply it to cravings? Well, that's what helps me to see my many limiting beliefs for what they really are, self-limiting assumptions. Do you ever find yourself caught up in feeling sorry for yourself and getting angry, wishing things could be different? Come on now, this is a call-in show. Call me, 760-888-5736. One of my favorite movies that I have to tell you to go see, it's called Penelope. It's about a girl from a royal family who's born cursed with a deformity. Her mother and everybody around her tries to convince her that her only means of survival is to depend upon a man who will take care of her. Oh, my God, how many times have you heard that nonsense? I'm not going to spoil it for you, but in the end, she has an aha that is so fabulous, and it's beautifully summed up by a little boy who says, "Oh, listen, it's not the power of the curse, it's the power you give it." Let me ask you, what curse has kept you prisoner? Call me. 760-888-5736. Okay, let's talk fat, because that's what so many women hate and fear, being fat. First, you've just got to know, losing weight does not guarantee happiness. I want you to know that it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. My journey began so many years ago. I began dieting when I was 11 years old. Oh, shucks, I have no water today. For nearly 33 of my 50 years, I was an on-again, off-again member of Weight Watchers. Come on, Weight Watchers members, call me, 760-888-5736. I want you to share your stories. I'm here to answer your questions. We're talking about how to love your body when you can't stand yourself. Did you know that it's been found that diets don't work for up to 98% of all people? Why? Because they don't help you deal with the emotions that make you want to eat all the time. Anything that's not nailed down. Oh, my gosh. I wish somebody would have told me that way sooner, because I spent a lot of years chasing diets trying to fix myself. I thought life would change when I became thinner. I was so wrong. In September, back in 2001, I finally got to the place where I wanted to be. I achieved what I considered my goal weight. Oh, I felt so good. I felt strong and healthy. At 5'2", I was a size 8, had a perfect hourglass figure. And even then, when I wasn't obsessed with hating my thighs, I grew to love my heart-shaped butt. Oh, I was so proud. I weighed 162 pounds. Working out all the time, my body was tight and toned. The gals at Weight Watchers suggested I continue to keep on going and slim down until I reached a lower, more appropriate weight, 110 to 125 pounds. Screw that. Despite the recommendations, I decided that I was finally okay with my body, and I decided to stop losing weight. With the note from my doctor, I began to go on weight maintenance. Man, I thought life would settle into this picture of perfection once I got down to my ideal size. It so didn't work that way. I still had huge trust issues that prevented me from feeling safe, receiving love, expressing myself, setting boundaries, asking for what I needed, feeling worthy, being independent, feeling confident, speaking out, and so many other things that I thought would magically resolve themselves once I lost weight. Life did not settle into the image of peace and ease that I expected. Instead, after I lost the weight, it became a daily struggle to keep it off. Oh, my gosh. I lived in constant fear of gaining the weight back and not fitting into the clothes that I loved. I couldn't relax around food without a pile of guilt and shame heaped on top of every extra morsel I ate over whatever I was allowed to eat that day to maintain. If you've ever been among those who were lucky enough to have lost weight on a diet, you probably recognize the struggle I describe. Maybe you even think you traded one obsession for another. Oh, I sure did. I went from being obsessed about losing weight to being obsessed about maintaining my new weight. In truth, nothing really changed. I was still obsessed. I found myself thinking about food all the time, calculating calories, Weight Watcher points, fat grams. In my head, I was running a constant tally of every single mouthful I ate. Every step I took, I did so with the goal of either wanting to lose weight or as a desperate attempt to offset the food I intended to eat later on. Food was my master, and I was its slave. You know, now looking back, I realize all that time spent living under the burden of my food and weight obsession, it actually prevented me from living my life. I really, really want you to hear this. I'm 50 now. I was waiting for my life to begin and looking outside myself for the answers, thinking that nothing would work out, nothing would be right in my life until I got thinner. How freaking insane is that? Have you been waiting for thin for your life to begin? Come on, I want to hear from you. I'm opening the phone lines to give you all a chance to say what's on your mind. The call-in number, 760-888-5736. And to ask a question, just press the number 1. I really, really want to hear from you. Let me ask you, Do you regularly put yourself down and trash talk your body? Oh, God, I've been so guilty of that for so many years. How about you? Okay, I'm going to indulge me. Let me read a sliver from my book, Love in the Skin You're In. How many times have you looked in the mirror and really seen your body? I'm not talking about what you consider your best features, your assets, your beautiful dark curly hair or your lovely hazel eyes. I'm talking about the bulges of fat and dimpled skin and all those overflowing and flabby parts that you'd rather die than put out on display. Often when we walk past a mirror and catch a glimpse of some part of our reflection that is remotely displeasing or even downright disturbing, we quickly glance away, gazing down at the floor, feeling shameful and fat. As overweight women, we've been taught and trained, cajoled, pushed and prodded to sort and scan for flaws, to view our bodies in the mirror with a mixture of regret and apology, making empty promises that we'll pass up that cheesecake, get to those crunches, and return back to our exercise program soon. We spend as little time in front of the mirror as possible. Some women don't even own a full-length mirror. As far as they are concerned, they're merely a walking, talking head. Are you ready to move closer towards being okay with your body as it is now? We have a caller. Hold on, please. Okay, I think I lost the caller. Okay, you're probably wondering, why should you? I'll tell you. I want to get you moving forward to another essential aspect of making peace with your body, deciding to take 100% responsibility for yourself and your life. No more blaming. No more waiting. Okay, let's see if we can get the caller. Hi, caller. This is Andrea. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Andrea. It's Jewel.
Oh, my gosh, Jewel. It's so good to talk to you.
How are you? I've been good. Do you remember me?
I sure do.
We took the speaking class, and then we took a cab back to Penn Station together.
Yes, it was fabulous.
We kept in touch on and off. Yes. And I wanted to call in and thank you so very much. I've been enjoying your EFT calls, EFT Blog Talk Radio here, and it helps me to write it out because not only am I hearing it, but I'm also seeing it and I'm writing it at the same time. And so it's resonating with my whole being even better, you know, as I listen back at the recording, you know.
I am so happy.
And,
what is one little chunk or a morsel that has helped you?
Oh my gosh, I cannot tell you. It was when you told me that it wasn't. I'm sorry. It wasn't the food. It was actually the memory. It was the smell. It was a frustration, and your advice to me was, do you need a hug? Do
mm-hmm.
you need a glass of water? Do you need to go and just leave the area that you're in and just get a breath of fresh air? Or do you need to go lay down for 10 or 15 minutes? And laying down for 10 or 15 minutes, actually, I cannot tell you how much that helped me.
Yes,
and
that's
probably
tremendous.
Saved me from sickness. Probably helped me a lot.
Oh,
and I really
so
wanted
glad.
You to know that.
Oh my gosh, my heart is leaping for joy. I'm so thrilled to talk to you again.
Me too. And I just wanted to say thank you very much. And I'm very, very much looking forward to the rest of the what you have in store for us this evening.
Excellent. There's a whole lot more coming. So it was a pleasure to talk to you, Jewel. And stay in touch with me on Twitter, at The Juicy Woman.
I sure will. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. You have a great night.
You too, Andrea. And thank you, thank you, thank you. You're a blessing. You're an angel. And I really, really appreciate it. You're helping me so very much.
Thank you. You made my day.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So as we were talking, I really want you to come to a place of understanding that it's not about the food. It's the problem is not the food, it's what's eating you. It's all of the situations in your life over which you feel you have no control, and most likely, probably, you do not have any control over certain situations. But it's about changing your response to them. No more blaming, no more waiting, no more putting your life and your happiness in the hands of others. Now, that's going to require some bold thinking to step out of your old, uncomfortable comfort zone, believing that you can't do anything about whatever situation you're facing. Are you willing to let go of your weight obsession and change your focus to the bigger things that have been getting covered up by your weight's distraction? Being overweight is not the problem. It's only a symptom of the problem. Have you ever considered the bold possibility of just looking at your body, noticing your large self, and arriving at the point of being okay with you at this size? Why? Why does your body only become acceptable when you're thinner? More often than not, the prospect of seeing yourself overweight will make you feel like a failure. It may push you to tears, triggering you to arm wrestle racing thoughts as you look at all your imperfections. You might wish, oh, God, if only I were thinner, had smaller thighs, could lose this weight, didn't have such a big stomach, big fat butt, or these flabby arms, my life would be different. But I challenge you, would it really? What if you never lose this weight? What if you're always like this? What if you get even fatter? Oh, my God, will the world end? Will you lose someone's love? What's the answer? Run back to dieting? How well did that work? How willing are you to consign yourself to living that depressing dieting life of misery and restriction until the day you die? How many years have you already wasted letting your size determine your right to happiness? Come on now, call me. I want to hear from you. We learn from each other. What kinds of things have you said about yourself? Dial 760-888-5736. Oh, man. I have a lot of victim stories that for years I kept repeating over and over in the same way. Oh, poor Andrea. They all ended up with reasons why I kept on being miserable and holding myself back, never quite pushing past any comfort zones, and just caught up doing the same things, feeling the same way every single time. When I wasn't feeling sorry for myself for not finishing college, priming the pump with constant put-downs, calling myself stupid all the time, I've used my thighs as my excuse to avoid living and loving for years. I'm here to share my insights as a 50-year-old woman who's wasted far too much time on self-hatred and acting like a victim. Now, it may seem weird, but yes, I am the author of the book Love in the Skin You're In. And as the author of the book, I speak to groups of women and girls and create confidence building and stress relief programs to teach them how to change the way that they feel about themselves. Because for most women and girls, we learn so early on how to hate our bodies and connect our sense of value to our physical selves. And if by chance we grow up believing that we don't measure up for whatever reason, we end up settling for less and failing before we've even begun. We have no sense of how powerful we are. And as long as we think of our currency in terms of our body, we will remain powerless. I want you to realize that you are so much more than just a size. There are so many women and men who are struggling desperately, hating their bodies, living in shame and fear, feeling that sense of not good enough. Diets are no help. They help. They perpetuate that kind of loopy thinking for so many people. They hound you into buying into a negative self-image, pushing you to believe that something's wrong with you. They keep you feeling insecure and uncertain of believing that you really can trust yourself around food and anything else. As our caller Jewel had shared, she was talking about how taking time and listening to what she really needs has been so important for her, and that's a matter of listening to your body. You know, when you were a child, you took in information like a sponge, and you believed everything you heard, and this became your story. At that time, you didn't have a voice or a choice, but now, as an adult, you have the opportunity to doubt the lies you've been told, to question all those funky, weird, crazy things that you believe that keep you in these places where you're angry and frustrated, feeling small and weak. But you've got to start where you are right now. Your journey begins with a spoonful of self-acceptance. By learning to welcome and fully accept the good, the bad, the ugly, the flab, the wrinkles, the bumps, and all. Oh my gosh, everything becomes possible. Resistance melts away. You're no longer your own worst enemy. The challenge is that you can only start loving yourself and make friends with food and accept your body if you're willing to stop playing the role of victim. Are you? Now, I got to give you a heads up again and remind you that my goal with this show is to inspire and to teach you how to love your body more right now. And this is a live call-in show, and I want to encourage you to share and say exactly what's on your mind. Call me, 760-888-5736. Let's talk about your body. How do you feel about it? Come on, let me know. I got to tell you, I am all about empowerment. So what I want to do is I want to get you to see yourself from a more empowered perspective. And I'm going to do that by reaching in and grabbing you by the emotions. I'm going to tell you stories. So this show will be filled with lots and lots of stories, mine and yours and other people's, because when we listen to someone's story, we see ourselves in their experience. Now, today, I really, really want to talk to you about how body hatred can kill. If you're struggling with hating your body, I want to encourage you to see yourself from a fresh and empowered perspective. Are you letting people walk all over you, feeling upset and frustrated because you don't get the respect you should? Are you feeling like this constant rolling boil of irritation that sometimes catches you off guard and leaves you shocked and you're thinking, wow, how can I be feeling that way? What's wrong with me? I shouldn't feel that way. Are those the times when you can't stop running to the fridge? Let me tell you, the answer is not a change in diet, but what you need is a change in thinking. For many years, I was tied to the belief that because I was fat, I was unworthy. So I let people take advantage of my good nature all the time. I wanted so much to be liked. It was so important to me. I wanted to be loved. So I always put myself last and never considered my needs first. I could never even think of risking rocking the boat. You know, sometimes family businesses are fabulous. And other times they're more like nightmares. Well, mine was really like a really long, bad dream. I left college prematurely to help my father out of a jam. And up until that time, we had such a special connection. I always considered him my hero and my role model. Wow. But during the years when I stepped in and worked with him or worked for him, I never felt appreciated or respected for my contribution. I felt like that was when he stopped loving me. Okay, I'm not going to risk sounding like a victim again, but this hurts and I'm still really sad about it. Now, despite the fact that I always loved school and pulled straight A's, during that time, he would always put me down and say, Andrea, what's the matter with you? Are you stupid or something? Why didn't you do this or do that? Or why didn't you get the reading on the boiler? Whatever. I began to think of myself as stupid. Even as an adult, I would never think of correcting him when he would constantly criticize and cut me down with his sarcasm. I just thought that was it. I deserved it because I was stupid. I hadn't finished college, so there, that was it. Big mistake. Feeling inadequate and judging myself for not finishing college has been a huge stumbling block for me for so long. Now, looking back on the experience, I realized that I felt like a victim during all those years. And because of that, I acted as though I had no control in my life. But the thing is, I did. I just didn't know it. I was too afraid of risking not being loved by saying, no, I'm not willing to do this. No, you cannot talk to me in this way. No, this is unacceptable to me. Here's what you need to know about how it all works. You see, all this stuff about talking to yourself in a kind way, I'm telling you that because it's all about energy, and energy in motion, which is called vibration. Scientists have proven that everything that we can see, feel, hear, taste, touch, and even those things that we can't get a physical handle on, like our thoughts, these are all actually moving particles of light, atomic bits of energy vibrating and in constant motion. Everything is about vibration. It's really the what that makes the world go round. You think that your thoughts don't count, but if you would actually measure them, you would see these bits of light that are spinning out. And when you're thinking these dark, ugly, nasty, angry thoughts, you're thinking some dirty, horrible things that are only going to attract to you more of the same kind of crap. Think about it. The other day I heard someone say money makes the world go round. That's ridiculous. It's vibration that makes the world go round. Money has a vibration just like everything else does. Everything has its own vibration, colors and words and things and people and places and blood, your body and foods, your thoughts, everything. It's all vibrating and moving around and attracting the same things of the same vibration. And the ticket is, when you can learn to change your vibration to get more of what you want, you'll stop manifesting what you don't. Now, let me break that down and really explain what that means in terms of your thoughts and your relationship with your body. When you stop seeing yourself as a victim and you start looking at the situations in your life where you're continually reaching for food, when you know that you're not physically hungry, that's telling you, it's a red alert in your brain telling you, hey, look at this. Something is bothering you. There's a thorn in your side. You need to look at this. What's going on? Oh, if you find yourself always, you know, reaching for the chocolates when your husband comes home and starts giving you a hard time about, you know, buying so many groceries, you know that there's an opportunity for you to say, hey, let's talk about this, instead of hiding in the bag or the box of chocolates. All these opportunities of times when you find yourself reaching for food when you know you're not hungry, it's your body's way of trying to fill an emptiness that you're feeling inside. And what I encourage you to do is to find your voice and to start creating a more fulfilling life with your words and with your actions, so that you won't be looking for food to cover those places, because you won't have those gaps in your life. So, as I was mentioning, we live in a universe where there's laws. If you walk off the edge of a building, the force of gravity is going to cause you to fall. It doesn't matter if you're Mother Teresa or Hitler, the magnetic force of gravity will take you down. With the law of attraction, you're a magnet, and you're attracting everything in your life that you have right now. Your body, your job, your relationships, your finances, every single thing you're complaining about, everything you fear, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it's all a result of things you have thought and believed to be true for you. It's what you're vibrating. And the cool thing is, oh my gosh, you don't have to stay stuck. Once you start questioning these situations that you have in life and start realizing that you do have choices, you're going to start changing what you're vibrating, and you're going to see that manifest in your body. Most of us have never been taught that our thoughts are powerful and that they're actually the building blocks of our life. So we go through our day and we're kind of walking around, sleepwalking, without paying any attention to what we're thinking about. We just get dragged down by our emotions and let our fears completely run our lives. And our inner critic becomes our own worst enemy. Are you finding that you stand in your own way? Let me give you an example of how I've done that. Because I never took steps to demand respect, I let people walk all over me all the time, talk to me with disregard and belittle me and put me down. And I convinced myself for a really long time that because I hadn't finished college, I had no value in the workplace and that I was really just the landlord's daughter. Thinking that I was inferior and stupid and not worthy of respect kept me in a place where I was not stepping into my power. As the boss, I questioned my own authority to my employees. It looked bad. The tenants didn't have a lot of respect for me because I didn't carry myself with any degree of authority. It was pretty pitiful. But I was the one creating the situations over and over again. I was a woman in power who allowed herself to let others I gave others permission to make me feel powerless. In reality, I was a woman running multi-million dollar residential and commercial properties. And yet, every week, like clockwork, I wrote myself a check for $150. I would write checks to contractors for $60,000. I had power of signature. But I did that for nearly 18 years. Sucks, right? It was kind of like I was brainwashed. Well, that's the thing with beliefs. We are brainwashed to believe whatever it is that you're believing. So it's going to require a big kick in the butt from you to start questioning some of the things that you already accept as true. Now, for me, I was knocked out of my people-pleasing trance when I joined a women's empowerment group. And finally, I was able to see my situation from a fresh perspective. That's when everything changed. That's when I stepped up and faced my fears and gave my father an ultimatum to sell the properties and give me 49%. Should have said 50, should have said 51, whatever. But on the strength of a verbal agreement, I negotiated the sale of the properties for $10.5 million. But you know what? In the end, I got nothing. Unfortunately, now my dad and I are estranged, and we don't communicate anymore. But the thing that I miss the most is I miss the memory. This is emotional stuff. I miss the memory of still having the old dad who used to be so wonderful to me before those years when I ran the business. So you remember the technique that I taught you last week, how to deal with cravings, the emotional freedom technique? I use that technique to deal with the sadness that I feel whenever it crops up. And whenever I feel that anger or sadness or whatever it is, that yearning of missing the dad that I love so much, I work on releasing it consistently. Because as long as I feel these emotions, where it puts me in a place of feeling like I'm stuck or that my life is incomplete, that's when I'm no longer in a position of having power. Although I miss the memory of the old dad that he used to be, I know that we no longer have that kind of loving relationship we did when my dad was when I was a teenager. He's different. So it's ridiculous for me to try and create something where there is nothing. And I want you to know that so many times as women, we struggle with emotional eating because we have these relationships in our life where we're trying to create something. We're trying to inspire someone to feel something for us that they just don't have the capability of doing. Many times we try to change people and we think that we could just fix them with our love. But we can't. We have to focus on us. So missing the memory is not the same as the loss. The lesson I learned from all that time is to never, ever let others put me down and call me names. Because unlike the rhyme you've heard, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. So not true. Names can hurt you just as much as physical pain. Are you still hurting from nasty names you've heard people call you? Come on, share with us and call in at 760-888-5736. I want to hear from you. Are you carrying those names inside of you, feeling like you've been branded? We walk around with those nasty images of ourselves as weak-willed people. Too often, we judge ourselves and think that because we haven't succeeded at losing weight, something's got to be wrong with us. Well, it's not. As I mentioned last week, your relationship with food and your body is a direct result of how safe you feel in your life. If you're carrying around excess weight, do you know what emotional burdens are held in those pounds? As I've mentioned, my story was that I grew up and always had a weight problem. Many women don't have any issues with food or their body until much later in life. Sometimes it happens in college, other times after a divorce or a death. But I want you to know there are reasons for why you are the size you are today. If you can't stop eating, please, please do yourself a kindness and think of this as valuable information telling you something's wrong. Just like a tiger with a thorn in its paw, something is causing you pain. Overeating is the symptom. It's not the problem. As long as you continue to do the same things, you're going to get the same results. So if you keep on reaching for the bucket of chocolates every time you feel like you've been disrespected or that you're not getting your needs met, you're only hurting yourself. Please don't blame it on the chocolates. To change how you feel, you have to be willing to do things differently. You've got to change the way you're thinking. It is those painfully negative, "I hate my fat thighs" thoughts that have you twisting in the wind, buying into the illusion that it's your body that's the problem. Oh, it is so not. It's your thoughts. It's the mistaken belief that this is all there is. You can't do any better. And that you're hopelessly deadlocked, unable to change the part of your life that isn't working. I think you know that's BS. It's the feeling that you're cursed and you can't do anything about it. That's why you can't stop eating those damn Twinkies or whatever else you're finding comfort in. Please don't blame yourself for doing that. There is no shame, because that's all you've known. That has been your way. That's been your body's comforting mechanism. But what I'm here to teach you is how to deal with your stress in a new way. Because I've learned that when you remove anxiety in your life, by coping with your stress and dealing with all of the frustrations that are irritating you and making you crazy and angry and angsty and bitchy and everything else, that's when you stop hating yourself. When you start demanding respect, when you start doing things that make you feel good, when you start creating spaces in your life by reclaiming, perhaps, you know, you've got a situation at home where you've got some clutter going on. When you start taking that place back and saying, this is mine, and I'm worthy of having beautiful spaces, or maybe you're an artist and you're perfectly fine with, you know, organized mess, whatever it is. But no matter what's important to you, when you honor that need, wow, things will change. But the thing is, unless you handle what's bugging you, your stress is only going to keep you running around in circles, making you feel hopeless and helpless. You're not. You've got to deal with the bugging yous, because otherwise, you will never believe it. You'll never believe how much power you have. So, I'm going to get in your face. I want you to get off the old treadmill and stop blaming your poor body for why you're miserable. You've got to take a good look at your life. What's making you eat? What would you have to believe about yourself to feel that something is wrong with you? What's happened that has caused you to turn against or hate your body? It's a cop-out to think that dieting or not eating or losing weight will fix what's causing you to want to eat and fill an emptiness that's been aching for attention. You know, at any given moment, we're faced with a choice. There's an old Cherokee legend that beautifully illustrates this. In a conversation between a grandfather and his grandson, the wise man explains to the boy that inside of every person, there's a battle going on between two wolves that are always fighting for control. One is unhappiness, and in that, it has fear and worry and anger and jealousy, sorrow, self-pity, resentment, and inferiority. The other is happiness. Its strength comes from joy, love, hope, serenity, kindness, generosity, truth, and compassion. The grandson thought for a moment and he asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old man said, the one you feed. It is so important for you to keep in mind that you can always choose your next thought. It only takes 17 seconds to flip switch your thinking and up your vibration. By making that quick change of thought, you'll attract different things into your life. So, you see, you can either be miserable or you can be happy. It's so up to you, depending upon which thoughts and which wolf you choose to feed. Now, I've shared my stories and examples with you to make it so crystal clear that no matter what, you don't have to be a victim of your circumstances. So the question is, what do you want? Do you want to be happy or miserable? Let me tell you a little bit of why I titled my book, Loving the Skin You're In. I chose the title for a really specific reason. It represents an ideal outcome to which all of us can aspire. Now, the thing about your relationship with your body is it's like a moving target. It's always moving and it's changing, depending upon what's going on in your life and how you're feeling about yourself. It certainly doesn't mean that I always love myself, that I love the skin I'm in, or that I'm feeling fabulous about my body. And the truth is, you're not going to either. That's just reality. It's a matter of recognizing that you're going to develop a different kind, a new preset or default switch in your mind. By using the techniques that I teach to take the doubts and the limiting belief that you have, to take the limiting beliefs that you have, let's say, oh, a big one for me was I'm stupid. To take a limiting belief and to question that and to run that through the filter of changing that in your mind and reprogramming the way that you think about yourself, that will change the way that you feel. It creates a new default switch in your mind. And what that means is that once you have this new vision of yourself as being a more capable person, more worthy of respect, more lovable, more just more everything, the old image you have of your body that you're holding inside of you, it's not going to feel right anymore. It just won't fit. It won't feel, in fact, it will. It'll feel like sandpaper on your soul. More often than not, it's the new belief and acceptance that will prevent you from tolerating the old nonsense, hate games, and put-downs you used to accept as truth. So if you've gotten used to looking at your body in the morning and saying, oh, my God, I'm such a fat pig, you will not be doing that as I continue. I want you to learn emotional freedom technique, and I'm here to teach it to you. But the fact is, I can't give you everything that you need. I'll get you started. You're going to have your dark and your insecure moments when you and your body just aren't seeing eye to eye. But with the tools that I offer you, I'm going to give you the ability to be able to significantly diminish all of those feelings of, oh, my God, I hate my body, or what's wrong with me, or I'm so stupid, I'll never be as good as this one or as beautiful as that one. You'll start to notice that the duration, the intensity, and the frequency of all of those little self-sabotaging thoughts, they're going to significantly change and be reduced. This is a process, and it's going to increase in effect, ineffectiveness as you practice it more often and make it part of your life. As I mentioned, I'm going to be having experts coming and teaching the emotional freedom technique, and you'll be learning so much from other people's experiences. I want you to realize that this is a process, and let's keep it going. Let's move it. Let's continue to allow the process to unfold. As they say, enjoy the journey. I want you to get started with changing your thinking by going to my website at thejuicywoman.com and first getting the excerpt of my book. Read it and start following me on Twitter. Now, couple things. Here's a couple of things I want you to think about in terms of self-acceptance. Just think of the excess weight on your body as being a real good reason for all of the things that have upset you in life. It's like your suit of armor. I want you to think beyond that and look at how amazing you are. Look at your qualities, your achievements. Oh, please stop weighing yourself and start wearing clothes that look and feel beautiful on you. Get examples of other women who have done it before you, who rock their bodies, who feel good about themselves. Go online, search for these women, find them in support groups. And most importantly, start to really change the way that you talk to yourself. With the loving care and attention of someone who loves and adores you, start touching your body, caressing yourself, especially those parts that just freak you out and gross you out. Spread some love, and remember, that's you. That's the person who's been through all the stuff you have, and you deserve love. Your body is crying out for it. Now, I'm going to close with the Juicy Woman checklist task for the day. Are you eating the foods you love? When you eat foods that you enjoy, you're sending a powerful message to your subconscious mind that you're worthy of having pleasure. Whether you love a good grilled chicken breast or a platter of pasta, eating foods that taste good and make you feel good will go a long way towards satisfying you. I so look forward to touching base with you next week. If you're in the NIAC area, I'll be presenting at NIAC College's Health Fair on March 6th. That's next Wednesday at 10. For more details, check me out and visit me on Twitter at The Juicy Woman. Oh, I love you so much, Juicy Woman. I can't wait to be here with you again next week. Until then, make it a sparkling day. Bye.